meeting tonight. We have all of our board members present, and Superintendent Citrude, and Jared Black, our business administrator. We will begin by standing and saying this Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. We will begin with the consent agenda, the warrants, the minutes for September 2014, and the financial reports for the same month. Are there any questions that haven't been answered?
I move that we accept them as they were presented to us.
I'll second it.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? We have personnel actions, names for approval.
Yes. We have a couple that I've added since I sent to you your packet came in to me today, but I'd like to propose that the board approve John Hughes as interim principal at Cottonwood Elementary School. That's for this year, and that job will be open, and we will take applications and interview for next year. Mike Scow is the head custodian of Farron Elementary. He did make it 2 weeks at Canyonview
before they grabbed him.
Applied for the full-time position. And Jace Fawcett as the four-hour custodian at Canyonview Junior High. Allison Jackson as preschool educational assistant at Cottonwood, and also Kimberly Neff, preschool at Cottonwood. Eric Nielsen as assistant boys soccer coach at Emory High, and Ariana Arian as assistant swim coach at Emory High School. I'd recommend the board approve those hires.
Any questions on those?
I'll make a motion that we approve them for hiring.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Okay, we have approval of school-based plans, school improvements,
okay,
staff development.
Okay, you had a big, thick packet. These are the plans that are developed and approved by each school community council. Consists of school improvement plan, staff development plan, and each elementary, also a school reading plan. If you have any questions, I can try and answer them for you, or get Jed and Gwen to. However, they haven't read them yet, so they're guessing.
They're going over there.
Reading them right now as we speak. Most of the plans don't change a lot from year to year. They look at the data, they look at the test scores, make adjustments on the content areas that need work, particularly when it comes to what they're doing with reading, and then overall school improvement. Most of our schools have school improvement meetings right at the end of the school year, either the last day or within the week after school's out, or the week prior to school starting, and just discuss how each school can be improved, and particularly how they can improve instruction. So I'm recommending that the board approve these plans for this year for each of our schools. They should all be there. And again, like I say, most of them, or many of them, are continuation of programs that they've developed over a number of years and continue to develop. And don't get these plans confused with the land trust plans,
right,
which come later.
Yeah.
I just had a couple of questions. Who's the math tutor at Emory High? Who do they, the after?
It has been Josh.
Does he do that afterwards?
Well,
he
asked
him, but I don't know.
Josh does too, but they also use their math, their content area,
okay.
Sterling Scholars. Those who are applying to be Sterling Scholars, they will use those students also to do after school tutoring.
But I think he's planning on hiring part time. I don't think they have hired for
they have hired someone out of Land Trust to do particularly math tutoring. That seems to be the area where we have the most kids who need the help.
Yeah, so. I that's why it's interesting. I was interested in the professional development plan in Emory High, that some of their professional developmental were essays from Larry Davis.
That was interesting.
I would like to read those. I think that would be really fun. Anyway, that's all I have. I just had that question.
I'll make a motion that we accept them.
I'll second that.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Okay, let's go to the policy actions.
I'm going to let Jared handle these. Most of these have to do with either transportation or benefits and building use. So.
Okay, the first policy that we have is a new policy, DEA, URS eligibility for elected officials. This is simply a policy that we've been asked, based on our recent audit of URS, to have, and it's language right out of the URS policies and manuals, so it doesn't change anything as far as what we're doing. It just puts it in policy as far as explaining eligibility
right.
of retirement for an elected official. The last three are all revisions, and the first one is to our staff fringe benefits policy, and this is just to change our premium to the word cost as it relates to the prorated amount that part-time employees pay towards their health insurance. And the reason for that is with an HRA, we, in the past, employees who, for example, worked half-time would pay half of the premium. But since the premium is reduced, but there's also the cost of the actual HRA itself, in order to do the same thing, we would need to say half of the cost instead of half of the premium.
Okay.
So that's what this change is. So it's in multiple places in the policy, but it's the same thing all around. And then also under the, where we have a section for dual employed spouses, instead of their amount going towards an HRA, it goes towards their Pelion account because they cannot have an HRA and an HSA at the same time. So we had to change the account that goes towards. So policies GCBD and GDBD are the same, except that one's for professional staff and one's for support staff. But the changes in those two policies would be the same. Okay, the next policy, staff hiring, is just a simple addition. This is a recommendation from our auditors that we need to have a statement about nepotism in our policy. And so we talked to them about it, and it's perfectly acceptable to just say that we follow the state law on nepotism.
Okay.
So that's what we've done. And then the final revision is building use, building permit and use. And we wanted to add just a short phrase in here to recognize that.
I think that's good.
When schools issue a permit, they have to, unless it interferes with the school purpose or a school function. But we wanted to clarify that if the school's doing a fundraiser, they don't have to give a permit to a vendor that would be competing
mm-hmm.
with that fundraiser. So it's just a short phrase in there to put that in policy. Those are the only
Any questions on those?
I was highly offended that board members aren't eligible for retirement.
Twice.
Yes.
I put in two times.
Yeah.
That's a punctuation mark.
That was really
only before 2011 or after 2011 you're not eligible.
Really humorous, the way that's written.
Just to be sure.
Really funny.
Technically, if you wanted to give yourselves a really big raise, you could be eligible.
I don't think that's legal, is it?
I'm guessing you don't want to do that.
No, we don't.
I move that we accept the policy changes as they've been presented.
I'll second that.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Okay, we have acceptance of donation.
Yeah,
okay, we received, I got a phone call from
Look
Principal
that
Davis.
Pretty signature.
That
Isn't that pretty
the high school.
Ma'am, I shouldn't say that. Look at Jared.
He Is there a discussion? I wasn't sure. Okay. So Emory High School got a phone call, and some individuals, I really don't know who they were, but had planned on donating a bunch of exercise equipment to some program in Africa, and it fell through. There was too much cost with the shipping, etc. And they had some ties with Drew Leroy, who approached Coach Jones, who approached Principal Davis, and they ended up bringing all of that equipment to Emory High. There isn't a value on the equipment, but it's a significant amount, and the estimate was that it was at least above the $20,000 level at which the board needs to approve that donation. So we required that the donation be made with the idea that it could be used for boys and girls at Emory High for different programs and different students, so that there's not an issue with Title IX or anything like that. And so the board just needs to, I guess, make a formal election to accept the donation. Or if you choose to not accept it, we can tell them to take all the equipment out. And what they're doing with it, there was a room, you may have seen it down in the corner of the Spartan Center, just west of the wrestling room, I believe, where they just had team meetings and stuff in there, and they were planning on putting it in there.
Okay.
Well, that's very nice.
Is that the first time?
I move we accept it and say thank you very
yes,
much.
Yes, absolutely. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Okay, a memorandum of understanding.
Okay, and this is, seems like more of a deal than you need to make for something so simple,
yeah.
But
yeah.
Roger called the state office about this, and the state office said in order for it to be a reimbursable route, you need an MOU between Carbon and Emory School Boards. So that's what we have. It's just a simple memorandum of understanding saying that they would use our bus that's at the Castle Valley Center to take the kids bowling every once in a while.
Okay.
And it's a reimbursable route. Nanette, thank you, pointed out that we needed to add an of between yous and its on point number one there. So thank you for that. So in the copy that I have for you, Laurel, it has that.
Okay, perfect. Okay. Motion is in order.
I move that we approve this memorandum of understanding.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Okay, we get to go to Principal Johnson for the report.
Well, that's on that long list. And probably
have a while. Thank you very much for the iPads. We really appreciate it.
Yeah.
You can take the book, you have to leave the iPad. Yeah. I could if I would. No, I would if I could.
There you go.
Anyway. Happy to be here tonight and to again tell you how grateful I am to work here at this school. It's a great school. Fabulous. I'm very appreciative of our faculty and staff here. Gail's a marvelous secretary, and I have to give a special thanks to Donette, who's been stepping in as secretary when Gail's had to have her treatments. And I'll talk about that in just a second. We've got two excellent custodians. We've got super child nutrition personnel, specialists, whatever they're called. Anyway, aides who are very supportive and helpful. We've got really great volunteers who come into our school, and our volunteers are crossing guards. Who are, I'm not sure if they're creative volunteers, but anyway, they do a good job for us. And I'm especially grateful, especially blessed to have teachers who are very caring and very professional. They do an excellent job. It's a pleasure to serve with them. Also, I'd like to thank our school board and our district staff for everything that they do to support us and to help our school move forward, and I appreciate them, and our computer specialists, our maintenance workers. I mean, we've got a really great team that works together to make education happen, and it's a good thing. It's a good thing. We've got self-contained and special ed and Title I in our school, and boy, they're busier than ever. And that's a real concern, how to keep up with the growth. Mrs. Mankiewicz knows about that specifically, huh, with your second graders.
Really?
As we did our Title I, as we did our Dibbles testing for the beginning of the year, the second graders came up with about 40% of them are in the intensive area of reading. Wow. So at the beginning of the year. Now that'll drop just a little bit because it's the beginning of the year. We'll see that improve a little bit, but even last year at the end of the year it was 36%. So that's a group of kids that needs a lot of work. What we're hoping to do is to add some extra burst group. That's a Title I program that John has helped us get and that they do a very good job with. Small groups, four or five kids, and very intensive language and reading to help them out with. So we're trying to do that. The teachers are doing an excellent job. I can sit down with Terry Wade every once in a while. Well, she's a very direct teacher. She's using, you know, high school level words on these second graders to teach them what declarative and interrogative are. But she's a very good reading teacher. You had an improvement last year.
I did.
Yeah. And she and it was a high class, which was very interesting. It was a very high group of kids. But even that group of kids saw a significant improvement in the way she was teaching reading. And so she taught a class this summer on six-minute reading. And our lower grade teachers attended that. And so they're all using that program now in order to help boost those scores. We're happy about that. Grateful for Terry for doing that too. Gail is doing well. She has to have more evaluations. So she has to have a CT scan, a PET scan, again on the 9th to evaluate what her condition is right now. She does know that the tumor that was on the right side has decreased in size from the treatments, and she's scheduled for another series of treatments the week of the 13th. So now you know as much as I do. But she's doing well. It's been fascinating that it's not chemo. It's very different from chemo. It's not experimental, it's in the research stages. So the doctor at Huntsman Cancer Center is conducting research all over the country with this new drug, whatever it is. Anyway, they hook her up to an IV on Monday morning and they let her out on Friday afternoon, and she's filled with that continually for that week. So, and then it pretty well wipes her out for a week after that too. But then she comes back and she's been doing really good. So. We're glad that things are working out.
That's a tough thing.
The book on the table, like I say, you can take the book, you have to leave the iPad. You probably prefer it the other way around, but sorry. The book on the table is called How Full Is Your Bucket? And it's every member of the faculty and staff has received a copy of this book in our school. It's specifically about negatives and positives. And how we can be more positives in our lives, and actually the research behind what being positive has on people and how it affects them. And so we're trying to work with this a little bit and build that in our faculty and staff, and also in our students, seeing if this won't help us move things along a little better. When kids receive positives, they learn better. Life is better for them. They can handle hardships better. And we've got our share of those this year. And I think everybody does. But we just had a family recently move back from, they moved out in the summer, and now they're back, and lost their father just recently. And so, you know, there's just a lot going on, and kids need to know that they're loved and cared about. So, and I'm grateful to our staff for that, too. I think that the kids do know that. The iPads, I'd like to take just a minute and have you turn them on and show you some of the apps that we're using. We purchased these through our Lands Trust. You can either push the home button right here, or there's a button up on top. Either way, it'll turn it on. You'll see that it says Huntington iPad cart number 3 on it. So it identifies it, and then you just swipe it. Push the home button again. It's got a white screen there because I was trying to do something, but the Wi-Fi wasn't strong enough for us to do it in here. Which, by the way, we are, the district is doing that in the schools. And they're starting with Huntington Elementary, isn't that great? And they're going to put Wi-Fi hubs, I Wi-Fi hubs in every other classroom in the building. So that should allow now the Wi-Fi to handle these problems.
Awesome.
We've got teachers who are using them very, very well, and they try to use the Wi-Fi and only half their class can sign on. So we've had to upgrade that. So it's a...
Before you misunderstand that, it doesn't mean that every other classroom is going to have Wi-Fi. The hubs are put in every other classroom, which gives coverage to the entire building.
If we, like on parent-teacher conference, we had a problem because everybody came in, turned on their cell phones and used up all our Wi-Fi. But it's accessible and it'll make things lots better. Anyway, you can just swipe across the screen and it'll show you the iPad or the apps that we have on there. The majority of them are free. There's about 17 of them that are paid apps. And the kids just enjoy playing with them. They're learning apps. They're all on there. But I'd like to show you a couple specifically. If you'll take your finger and between the apps, don't touch the app, but between the apps, just pull it down like that. Now you can do a search for whatever app you want. So now I've got to get back to the ones I was going to show you. Well, let's do write about. If you'll just write WRITE, as you start to write it, you see them appear. There's one that's called Write About It. And if you just touch right where it says Write About, just touch it. It will actually open that app for you and start it happening. Now, what Write About is... because it's got categories in it. If you'll push categories there on that iPad. Oh, sorry, you're already in the category.
Oh, okay.
There, right there.
Oh.
So you've got the camera on.
Yeah, it's taking a picture of my hand.
I have an app that'll read that and make it text.
While you're at it.
Oh, I know, it's gone. This also has a place where you can create your own category,
and that's what it was trying to do.
She's on level two. We're still on level one.
So if you push those categories, and then you just select one, something that you might like to write about. So push one of those pictures there, and that will give you a picture and something to and a statement to write about. Now, if you want a different statement. Then let's see, right down. Let's see. Yours is really big.
Almost looks like it.
Where'd you get that?
So oh, that's cool. Categories, what do you want?
Group
animals.
I don't know why I didn't. Anyway, settings. Right there in settings, if you push settings, then there's one dot, two dots, or three dots. And the first one, of course, is an easier prompt. The second one is a little harder, and the third one is even harder. The interesting thing about this, I was in with Mrs. Rolene Justice, and she had the kids. She said, okay, go to animals, select one you want, and write about it. Every kid in that classroom started writing. It wasn't, do we have to write? How much do we have to write? They just started to do it.
Yeah.
That was pretty neat. And then after they got finished, they emailed it to her so she could see what their writing was.
Awesome.
So that's a pretty nice app. Like I said, the kids now could take the iPads, go outside, take a picture of something they create, and create their own writing app for others, or their own writing prompt for others to use from that app. Pretty neat app. Let me have you now push the home button again, which is the little round circle on the bottom. And I want you to look at... next one I wanted you to see was this one I have to show you here because I don't have it on all these. I don't have it on these upper iPads. We've got three carts and we have 90 iPads, which is about a 1-to-4 ratio in our school.
It's
wonderful.
That's great.
This one is called Frywords, and it's mostly for younger kids.
Fry.
It is a, Fry words are the words that they use, the first 300 beginning words, okay? So I've got that, we're going to get that on there. I don't think it's on this upper level. Let me turn my volume up here, but I want you to see what this does. So they're just the upper words, and it will, so you can do it like this, and then it will say it. And you could go to the next word and have the kids say it, or, and then touch it, and it'll say it for them, so they could run through it themselves. Then they could also, you can also take the setting, so it says, all right, what I want to do is I want to play this game where I have one out of three words. So it tells them the word, and they have to select which one was the correct word. And it starts out with the first, it gives a list of 300 words that they should know by sight. And so that's a nice app. That one was free, by the way. That didn't cost anything. The next one I'd like you to look at, if you'll now push the home button and get back to where all the iPad apps are, where the apps are. If you, again, if you'll pull down in the middle and type in comic. So go to the home screen. Yep. Mm-hmm. I'll just pull down like this and type in comic.
Comic Life.
There it is. It's already up. You just click on it. There it is.
Yeah. This one's called Comic Life, and what this one is, the kids can take pictures, they can add bubbles, they can add their own words, they can create their own story, their own, I've seen it done with fractions, I've seen it done with nouns and verbs, and they can create. So if they're learning, if they have learned this and they can create it, they can teach other kids, it also means that they know it. This is just another one that's an interesting one to do.
So they're learning and thinking, they're having fun.
Yeah, that, it's exactly right. They're having fun. They love the iPads. It's great motivation for them.
It's super motivation.
And
look at that. That is so fun.
Another one I like to show you I want to show you one with swipe down again, and let's go to a search, and this time type in My Script. Even just My. It's called My Script Calculator. I hope it's on there. Should be.
Not mine. My Script. It should come up now, though.
No, it should come up by now.
Yeah. There you go. So go ahead and open up that.
Open it.
I don't know why it would be on some of them, not on the others.
Oh, I just cleared it up.
Maybe I need to put Script close together.
Anyway, and then just is it not on yours? You know.
No, I type it separate.
Well, let me just show you. I'll have to make sure that's okay. On there the way it should be. But let's say I just wanted to do a math problem.
I don't think we have it.
And so I do 4 plus 3. And it takes it from handwriting and puts it into a text so kids can see it. If I wanted to do 7 squared plus 3 squared.
Yeah, this is just
to vote it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It'll take this number and it'll do the square root of it. Oops.
Wow.
It's pretty amazing, yeah. Pretty amazing calculator. We haven't shown that very much. That's just to show you the power
the
that's
power.
Out there on these things. I've taken way too much time, so rather than show any more, there's games. If you'd like to take a look at
you'd
those.
Like us to play?
Yeah, you want to play for
just
half an hour?
Just go ahead.
I want to show you one that we're working on getting. We're trying to find some money to help with this. It's called Learning Ally. And I've got it online and have downloaded it so that I can see how it works. And we used it over the summer with several kids. So it's Learning Ally is a company that is specifically for dyslexic and learning disabled people.
Really?
Kids. So I've got, here's one called The Mouse and the Mole, Perfect Halloween. And so it gives, you can download it, the teacher or the parent or whoever it is, who goes in and says, this is the books I want them to have. And then it goes to here. Let me see if I can try that. Isn't that nice? So it not only reads it to them, but it highlights the phrases or the words that it's reading at the same time. They can control the speed. They control the size. You can control what it looks like, if it's a black background, a blue background, whatever you want it to be. You can bookmark, you can page, or go to a specific page. I mean, it's a marvelous app. It also includes textbooks. So we'll be able to use it with some of our slower readers who are struggling with text. And then the last one that I wanted to show you, this was the one that I wanted to stop. This one's called Nearpod. Nearpod allows you to take control of all the AirPods. And it's a company that has, it's just blossomed. And so they have math and language and reading. And teachers are adding to it. Teachers are adding to it. You can take a PowerPoint that you've created for your class, drop it into Nearpod, and it would play. Now, what I was hoping to show you is that if I went to any of these sessions, so there's preschool, there's what cells are, objects in the sky, time, all to, you know, there, the earth, all those different kinds of things. I could go to any of those and click it. It would give me a five-digit number. The kids go into Nearpod, type in that number. Now I've got their iPod. Every time I swipe it, it swipes theirs.
Wow.
They can go to the internet if I want them to go to a specific page and look at that. They can take a quiz. I can put a quiz on here. It will show me on my iPod who has finished the quiz and what score they got. And it's everything from preschool through to calculus. So we're working on a school license for this to get some additional teaching materials. They're powerful machines.
Powerful.
We're happy to have them, and we hope to some great things come. I guess that's what I have. Thank you very much.
That's really fun to see that. I'm glad to. Glad to see that. So, and thanks for your work that you do and your staff and everyone at Huntington Elementary. You have some unique challenges here, and it makes it keeps you busy, doesn't it?
Well, yeah. The teachers capable of meeting.
Right. I just wanted to ask Mrs. McElpring about why are they below level? Is that, do you have a lot of?
I have no.
You don't have any idea. Are they not being read to or?
I can just state that Mrs. Mills, when she was in kindergarten, told me that this class that I have now was quite low, and it seems like it's just gotten worse.
Really?
Now, last year, I had an extremely high
grade.
Wow. Very low.
Above level.
Yeah.
I don't know how else to word it.
Challenge in itself.
Yeah.
They were. We're supposed to, at the beginning of the year, read 52 words per minute. Last year, sorry for my voice, but last year I had some that were reading 150 words per minute during the beginning of the year.
Mm-hmm. Quite a
I'm
few.
I'm not going to mention
quite a few.
Names, but some people don't work.
Quite a few of us.
Quite a few. It wasn't just a couple. I had, actually, I tried to split my high because I had so many highs. Last year I had 17 children, and if you know the deals, they have kind of like a stoplight, you know, you have the red, which is intensive, you have the yellow, which means they have a patient, and they have green, which means smooth sailing. Out of 17, I had 14 green and 3 red.
Oh, my goodness.
Last year.
That was last year. This year I have 12 children. I have 6 in red, 2 in and the rest are in green and they're kind of iffy. Not all, but I'm just saying it's a complete contrast from what I have.
Wow.
But my goal is, I'm a firm believer in the 6-minute read. I don't know if you guys have ever heard of it.
Tell us about this one.
Because on the way home, this instructor said, do you guys do 6-minute read? And on the way home, Carrie Conlon told me that she was introduced to it when she worked at the Provo. Well, she told me about this book, and I need to tell you that, you know, we get so much information. Mrs. Mortensen had given us this book about 2 years ago, and I put it on the shelf and forgotten it happened. But I pulled it out, and I had Carrie Conlon come over and kind of tell me how she did it. Kind of a 5-minute interview, what she did, and then couple of basils, old basils that I had for the comprehension. But for the fluency and the speed, I had different levels, and that's what I'm doing this year. I have quite a few pre-primer, and I have 2 and 4th grade reading level, about 4 or 5 in third, a couple in second, some in first. Last year, I will honestly say that I have to look up some of these words in 5th and 6th grade because they were from a different country or something I've never heard of before. I'd have to type them in and Google them to see what they were, so that when the kids, because on Monday, they would come and I'd say, you have 2 minutes to read this. And they would state, what's this word? And I would have to act like I knew it.
Wow.
Well, you've been in 2nd grade a long time.
Well, actually, I felt pretty good because Mrs. Black didn't know some of those words.
Oh, there you go. There you go. Good company.
They were hard, but the 6-minute read is to build your fluency. It's kind of like diddles, but the kids do it with themselves.
Oh, wow.
So you partner them up. Last year I had an odd number. So I pulled my little kids, and I was their partner. But I am a firm believer. I've loved it. It takes a lot to be prepared, and because I change the stories every week. But it takes 6 minutes total. That means 6 minutes for those kids to get their little packet with their partner, record, then they do a 1 minute timing, and then they report, they subtract the errors, but you use that same passage all week long. And I felt like even my top kids last year even went above the number they were before.
Great.
But my lower kids last year, this is my trial this year, but last year I had 3 in med. I think 2 went to, 1 was yellow and the other 2 went to green. So, but this year I have the opportunity to have the lowest reading child in the 2nd grade. He read 3 words per minute, and my goal is to get him to do something else.
Wow. Well, we'll be interesting to hear. We really will next year, see
well,
how that goes.
I'm determined that
if you can't, I'm not sure anybody can, so
well,
good for
know.
You.
I agree.
But we would really know the why.
Yeah, it just...
it's kind of like a bubble.
Yeah,
right,
yeah.
Right there.
Yeah, I mean, I went from high to...
Yeah.
And it's not just, you can't blame first, you can't blame kids.
Right, right.
They have said right from the get-go, as a majority, and I thought it was 44%, so I'm going to touch
it was.
Oh, okay. Well, I had told Mrs. Johnson, and I thought, oh my gosh, I lied.
No, it was 44.
Okay.
But it's going to be a challenge, but this year, is going to prove to me that 6 minute
I love that. You know, that determination, that's great. That's what makes our teachers so good.
Sometimes when you're old, you have these old ways. They work. I like the iPads, but it's not a cure-all.
Right.
It has its place.
It does have its place.
It will not take place, and then
no.
With
my one-on-one.
This is the best it's been. I feel like I am an old school one. Because I can't talk and have a slow mic, and then when I don't have the mic, I look at them.
And they respond, I'm sure. Well, thank you for that. That's given us some insight, and thank you for your report. Now we'll go to the business administrator's report. Jared?
Just a couple of things that you have today. We got your personnel directory updated for this year, and then hot off the press, our AFR financial report and our programs report that are due today. So I finished them about 5 minutes before coming over. So that has all of our year-end financial data. It's not our comprehensive report. That'll be the next board meeting. But you're welcome to look that over if you'd like.
Okay, thanks.
Anyway, they're also online and available to the public.
Okay.
So. We have those done.
We may need a special tutor for that, too. So, okay, superintendent's report. Thanks, Jared.
Mm-hmm. Just quickly, today is October 1st, which is our official membership audit day. And Jared has spent time, and Jared and John both with the auditors today, in doing class counts and things. Jed did pull off from SIS, and John also emailed me our October 1st count, which is 2,281 or 2, depending on what time of day it was. This morning at 11:05, it was 2,282. And at 6 o'clock this evening, it was 2,281. So we lost a student sometime this afternoon. That is actually from October 1st of last year. That is down 36 students, or 35, whichever number you believe. The concern we have is that we're down 56 elementary students. We're actually up 20 secondary students, but our kindergarten registration this year, we registered 172 kindergarten kids compared with 100. Our kindergartens, our classes in the past have been around 185 to 190 kindergarten, but we have lost 56 elementary, picked up about 20 in secondary. For an overall, we're down about 36 students over last October 1st, just for information right now for you. Also, I would like to, at this time, just recognize the passing of one of our school employees this week. Al Lemons passed away Monday morning. He had recently had a knee replacement surgery. Mm-hmm. They still don't know the exact cause of his death. They had done an autopsy, but still waiting for results of that. But Al worked for us for a number of years as a custodian. He went to work in the coal mines for a while. He retired. He came back as he's been working as an educational assistant at various schools, most recently at Canyonview Junior High School. And I will also say that Al is one of our Dibbles experts as far as our educational assistants, did almost all of the Dibbles testing at some of our schools. He was 66 years old, a very good friend of mine, and I was extremely shocked when I heard that he had passed away during the night, Sunday night, early Monday morning. But I'd like to recognize Al's.
This man had a bucket full of positive.
Yes, a bucket full. And gave it to everybody. So
yeah. Had a joke for every conversation that you have with him. So. but we would recognize his passing. You also received, I sent you a copy of the letter of retirement for Mr. Dennis Jones, principal at Cottonwood Elementary School. You have a copy of that, so I won't read it to you, but very, very complimentary of the school district, of the people that he's worked with, and of the students. Just for your information, his retirement became effective today after 35 years of service with the school district. Also, just a reminder, you probably got that this in the mail also, but I sent you another copy. USBA regional meeting, October 29th. It'll be in Spanish Fork at Nebo School District office. You have the information. Did you get that in the mail?
Yes.
For the board?
Yes.
So you have the agenda for that. I'm sure that they will be talking a lot about the
Wednesday?
Next year's legislative session and so forth, but I think that's all I have right now. I will mention that we did apply for and we have received several STEM grants. You probably heard that acronym several times.
Mm-hmm.
It's something that's really put us on the fast track. There was funding by the legislature this last session. We really needed a year to develop these programs, but we do have some math STEM grants that we're working on right now with elementary, secondary math software. We also are working on a 7th and 8th grade STEM grant. We just received approval of a STEM professional development grant that we, for those of you who aren't aware, STEM is an acronym for science, technology, engineering, and math. Yeah. It's the big focus now in the state of Utah as far as the curriculum is concerned. We've worked with PD360, which is the School Improvement Network. It's a Utah-based company, but in reality, most of their business is outside of Utah. They nationally, they're one of the major suppliers of professional development to education. And yet in Utah, they don't have near the clients that they do outside of Utah. But we've worked with PD360. You've heard that mentioned several times. You'll see it in those professional development plans. School Improvement Network is where we, is the company that we're working with our STEM professional development. Up until now, we've been able to get 50 licenses, but with this STEM grant, at least over the next 2 to 3 years, we'll be able to have PD360 license for every teacher in the school district beginning this year. And those who are teaching science, technology, engineering, math, there will be some things that we'll be tracking with them, but every teacher in the district will be able to use that professional development, those online video training modules. There will be some requirements that go with that if they get the license. But we're excited about it. It's now called Edovation. It's no longer PD360, but the company, the professional development program is now called Edovation. But we're excited about that. And we're also working, I think, on some STEM grants for CTE. So in case you're wondering and you're hearing all about STEM and wondering what we're doing, we're right in the middle of it. We have a lot of things going right now.
That's good to know.
You'll hear more and more about it as we roll these things out. We're trying to balance that. We're trying to get our educator evaluation program going and training and all of the frustration that goes with it, and not only with our teachers but with our administrators. And so we're trying to balance a lot of things right now. But anyway, that's my report tonight.
Thank you for that. Appreciate that. Do we have any public comments? No? Okay, how about closed meeting items?
I don't think so.
Good for us.
We don't, but I think Garth may have something.
No, I was just going.
Wow. We just looked at the clock and said, woohoo.
Well, I thought you was raising your hand. No. Maybe you wanted to
have a few
wanted
issues.
Us to talk about you.
I'll leave if you want to. The iPad may be on record mode.
That's true. You never know.
In that event, I move that we adjourn before anybody changes their mind.
I think that's a great idea.
Second that.
I'll second it.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Any opposed?
Wow.
Wow. That's nice.
There's some.
Oh, thank you.
That's true, but that was a summer meeting. And that's. But this was a good one.